The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 76, The Key Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I am Mark.
And this fair evening, we will be discussing Season 8, Episode 12, which is titled The Key. The key to what? You will have to listen to find out. Ha ha ha. Anyway, but before we get to that, we have some feedback for last week's episode, which was Season 8, Episode 11, Dead or Alive Or. So let's start with that.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And we're going to start this off with PB and Zane, who is actually Judy in real life. I'd love to find out, Judy, how you came up with PB and Zane, because that sounds, I remember originally I called you peanut butter insane, but I'm not sure if that's what PB is. But anyway, she responds to a question that we had last week. She says, to clarify my Terra comment, yeah, I meant that she was all like, let's kill Dwight, then flip-flop to, oh, no, he's okay. And then she says, Brian, you sounded more like you this week, laughing and joking. Was it the move that caused you to sound slightly bummed in last week's podcast? I know moving can be stressful. Hope all is well. All is not well, unfortunately. Well, okay. So first, to respond to that, two episodes ago, was the first time that we recorded, I recorded in my new place, and there was a lot of reverb in the room. I'm not hearing a lot now. I don't know. How does it sound, Mark? We sound okay?
Yeah, we sound good.
But how do I sound?
You sound amazing.
Amazing. So I'm getting a little better with the reverb in here. But anyway, one thing was I wasn't speaking very loudly because there was so much reverb that it sounded louder and my wife kept coming in and shushing me. So I think that was the real reason. But I was pretty tired and we had some pretty bad technical issues that night. So I think all of it had something to do with it. But I did say in the comments, I said, I can't make any promises about my mood for the next show. Something bad has happened to me since we recorded. I'd elaborate, but this is a public group. And if you don't understand that, the Facebook group, anything that you say in that Walking Dead talk through group is visible. So if somebody goes to it, even if they're not a member, they can actually see what's being said in there. So I've got some stuff going on right now that I don't want to publish in Facebook or Twitter. So this is the only place you're going to hear it. I lost my job last Wednesday, and unfortunately I was given no severance at all. And it comes at a bad time because I just moved closer to work, and we're still, you know, having to cover the old place at the same time. So, you know, that we're intending to sell that place, but we're still having to cover it. So, so before we recorded tonight, I was over there basically throwing out stuff. And yeah, so things are not going too well for me on a personal note, and I don't want to bring the whole podcast down. I will try to be chipper.
You better be.
When inside I'm going, or maybe even. So anyway, I don't want to elaborate beyond that. But I will say that, you know, I'm scrambling, but, and there, you know, have been a couple of nibbles, but, I haven't lined anything up yet. I think that's about all I'm going to say, except for two things. Last year I had a GoFundMe page that was originally done to, because I bought a new hard drive and I was hoping you guys could help pay for it. Well, I'm not going to change that one, but I am going to update what's going on and increase the amount that I'm looking for in the help, basically to give us more time to get things settled. And but if you need a Cold Fusion developer or a web developer of any kind, hopefully you'll give me a contact, let me know. as far as the GoFundMe page, that's at gofundme.com/TWDTT Brian Hard Drive. So, if you'd like to kind of help us out, and my wife doesn't work, so this, you know, this situation is, not so good right now. And, you know, I can obviously edit podcasts very well, but I have to tread lightly here because, this network is owned by, Daryl, who owns Pro Podcast Solutions. So I'm not going to directly say, hey, you know, send me your podcast to edit. But I will say, if you need a podcast to edit, you know, contact Daryl. He can set you up and maybe he'll bring me on or give me a finder's fee or something like that. So, you know, so anyway, that's, the crappy thing that is my life right now. So anyway, Mark, let's go to the next one.
Yes. All right. Gary. Okay. Just a few quick thoughts this week. Do you think Rick's people might now actually be convinced Dwight is really on their side? Daryl seems upset, but he should realize how it feels to be trapped under Negan's thumb. But yes, I understand it can be tricky trying to determine which of Negan's individuals would gladly leave him and which would stay loyal no matter what. Dwight's wife, who escaped and we haven't seen in a while, could have possibly traveled far enough that she reached the group with the helicopter and told them what had happened, and eventually she will be responsible for bringing in the quote-unquote cavalry to rescue Rick's group. Just a thought. Eugene's mastermind idea, come on, man, really? Are they saying after all this time in Zombieland that I have never occurred to anyone to use a zombies as weapons to be thrown into the enemy to infect them? I know it would make things too easy, so it's likely good I'm not in the show's writers, ha ha ha, but I have a long ago had Rick find an abandoned army base and gotten a few tanks and rolled up to Negan's doorstep, said, Negan, what smart comments do you got for me now? Well, that was more than I originally planned on writing. Let the others and have time on their comments. Ha ha. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. And you've been contributing a lot lately. So thanks for everything you've been sending in to us. Yeah, you know, Eugene's idea the whole shock and awe with those zombie guts. I think that was just him trying to, you know, offer something that wouldn't kill anybody. That's how I took it anyway. So it wasn't a great idea. And even Negan's idea, now that I think about it, isn't that great of an idea. Even, you know, at least in this, I know in the comic, it might work, and I probably said too much to spoil there, but in this show, and I will thank another podcast actually that mentioned this. I can't remember who it was, but another podcast this week mentioned the season 6 episode 3. Thank you. And specifically what it was is Rick, I think, reached in, grabbed some kind of machete or some kind of knife from a walker that had one stuck. And in so doing, he cut himself. And he didn't die, you know, or get infected or anything from that. And if you remember, he was bleeding quite profusely in that arm. Yes. So that, we've got a bit of retconning going on with that, because that was a clear example. Now, Gabriel, he got sick, but, you know, I have to think, like, what Rick did, the knife wasn't sticking in poop, right? And my thought is that, you know, somehow Gabriel, you know, he probably got intestines or something that was particularly vile that got him sick, but it's not the zombie virus. That's why the antibiotics can treat him, but there's still potential retconning. So what I'm saying here is, if this tactic ends up working, which we still haven't seen it yet, then I do agree with what some people have asserted, that there's going to have to be a bit of retconning to explain that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I definitely think that, well, there was a seed planted at that one incident when we saw Negan and Father Gabriel in that bunker where they were hiding out. And, you know, Negan says, "Oh, you put guts on," you know, he goes, "We're from Georgia," is what Father Gabriel states. And, you know, it's like, "Oh, we've gone through this." But the thing is that there are other, like you were saying, there are other things that are out there. There could be some other viruses that are going on within these zombified, you know, corpses. And it could have gotten into his eyes, and it could not have been blood or anything else. It could just been some sort of irritation that just kind of manifested itself into Father Gabriel's eyes.
Right.
So, you know, then we got him at, you know, that little sphincter hole of an eyesight, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like we saw it through his vision, and his vision is deteriorating. Whether he is completely blind, we don't know, but he can see something to some degree. So, you know, we don't know how the virus works or how it would interact. Does it go through the eye sockets? Does it go through the mouth? You know, who knows? Because as far as we know, Father Gabriel was not cut open during that scene when he was escaping with Negan and putting the guts on himself. So it could be just something that just was a major irritation, and since the zombies were, you know, so rotted, that it created some sort of, I don't know, some sort of retrovirus.
Yeah.
Something that where it just irritated his body to a point where he has the virus in him, so that way, you know, he has some sort of issues with his sight because of this. And, you know, we're retconning a lot of things. And I brought this up recently in the last episode when we were talking about how zombies could actually open doors.
So, Yeah.
So, you know, that was the Darabont stage.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't hold any recollection or anything now. But the thing is that they're going to take this where they're going to, if somebody gets hit and are bloodied and opened, that they will actually get infected and suffer kind of like, I forget his name from season one, who they left on, you know, by the tree. Jim.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, Jim was left by the tree and he had the visions and everything else because he was cut open. He was actually bitten at that point.
Yeah.
We never saw that from Carl. We never even saw that from Carol. Yeah. I'm thinking of
Amy?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll let you try to work it out.
I'm going to work it out.
If you're like me, you'll think about it and you'll come up with it about 5 minutes from now. And it'll just pop in your head.
Lori Holden.
Oh, yeah. Andrea.
Andrea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrea was the one that was bit and within that time, and they let her do her thing, just like they did with Carl's character. So, you know, it's kind of like they're changing things up a bit. And I think they're changing everything within the Walker or the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah,
if you think about it, even with fear, because now we're going into a new fear season. So are we going to see the whispers in the fear season?
I don't know. Then,
yeah, there's a lot of things left, and I'll leave that to later.
Well, I will say this. The trailer looks good.
Oh, yes.
It does. Very much looking forward to season four of Fear. And if you're not watching it, you really should be. It really turned its way around in season three, and it was really good. All right, well, let's move on. Season 8, episode 12, as I mentioned, was titled The Key. That was written by co-executive producers Channing Powell and Corey Reed. Obviously, between those two, they've written many episodes. Directed by executive producer and makeup artist extraordinaire, although I have a bone to pick with him this episode, Greg Nicotero. And let's get right into it. So, Mark, out of 10, what did you think of this episode?
I give this 9.5 Lucille Disco Bats.
Yeah. And you're referring to, of course, the little thing that Andrew Lincoln did during a certain segment of Fear, or it's not Fear, sorry, Talking Dead this week. And he was talking about Disco Bat. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, with the way they do effects, they actually had to use, glow sticks in order to actually make that bat work, in order to get everything in the feel of what's going on in the episode. And, you know, being an effects person that appreciates effects, oh, I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess so it seems like for most of it, they didn't have that bat on fire. Is that how you understood it? Was it actually added?
It was added, but they did actually have physical effects of the actual fire there with a little bit of gasoline or some sort of igniting fluid.
Yeah.
So that way they actually got some of the flame.
Yeah.
But they used the actual glow sticks as a way, as a reference to add more in. Hopefully Lucille doesn't perish.
I will say, though, that I thought that the flames on the bat looked very realistic. I mean, there was a time when flame in 3D, you know, didn't look realistic at all. But I was certainly better than a deer last season. And of course, I got to mention that because this was episode 12, and the deer, the ever popular translucent deer, was episode 12. And I also give this one a 9.5, and that bone to pick, you can guess, is naked walkers that didn't even look naked. And that's all I have to say about it.
Oh, come on. They were naked. They had no clothes.
They
were rotted.
Well, it was just the one walker, right?
Correct.
And I was like staring at that thing like it's the Zapruder tape, and I couldn't see anything. No zombie booby. It's like, come on.
Well, we couldn't tell if it was a male or female. Who knows? It could have been Eddie from Iron Maiden, and, he could have been rotting for a while, and he was just reaching out. I asked Nicotero that years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, run to the hilltop. Anyway,
I asked Nicotero that at a Walker Stalker years ago. You're talking about a good 4 years ago, and he said to me, he goes, I would love to do an Eddie, but we have to get proper authorization from the group.
Oh, and come on, Steve Harris,
licenses.
Yeah.
So I'm a big, huge Iron Maiden fan, and that was the beginning of my zombie escapades of watching. So
I love Maiden still to this day. But anyway, that's a couple of zombie lovers and podcasters that are showing their age. All right, we've got some listener ratings. So, Mark, why don't you start?
PB Insane says 7 out of 10 crossing dicks. Oh my!
Yeah, that was something that Negan said in the episode, and I chuckled when he said that. Mark Olivier Dufour said 7.6 flaming Lucilles.
Gary, I rate it 9 out of 10. You've picked a fine time to leave me Lucille baseball bats. You when picked Negan a fine dropped time to leave me Lucille.
I couldn't resist. I had to do it there.
When Negan dropped his bat, that song immediately came to mind. It was Walking Dead, the musical. They could have played that song, then laugh out loud. The 9 out of 10 rating is because they are finally showing that Negan is not such an invincible, untouchable as previously portrayed. Also, for the reason mentioned in my awesome sauce.
All right, Malika, she gives it 8.754321 pantsuits. I heard one podcast, actually, I think it was Walking Dead cast, mentioned Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, that was interesting. I could actually see Ellen DeGeneres actually doing that.
Yeah.
Steve Brown, rating 9.75, surprised Negans at the fate of the trash people and seeing Jadis.
Yeah, that completely shocked me. I had a reaction to the episode, to that, and my wife like sent me a text from the other room like, what the heck? Because it went like, no.
Wow.
Yeah, I reacted to it. Cheryl Fox gives this episode 8 out of 10, psychopath Rick Grimes. And again, must thank you, Cheryl, because you did most of the work on this show doc that we're using tonight. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. Glennis Gultz, 6.5 out of 10, batting average or Batman. I rewatched it and upped it up from 6 out of 10, as there was a few times, few items that grated on the nerves a tad.
Hmm. And I think we're going to find out why later. Tilly Creary, she says, I'm going to give this episode a 9 out of 10 epic fight scenes. I would agree with that. I mean, I knew neither of them would die, but I still enjoyed the fight.
Yeah, that was a good fight. Dieta Patterson, I rate this episode 8 out of 10 Dukes of Hazzard's car crashes and car chases and crashes. Oh my God. That's throwing it back big time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then our co-host on Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, Kyle McAdams, says, I'll at least give a rating as it was a little more enjoyable than previous episodes. A 7.9 Jadis pistol whips out of 10. Again, hard time trying to get a rewatch in. Just so much going on preseason for me and family situations. I promise it's not going to have any impact, though, when fear starts back. Yeah, and that first episode's going to be a lot of fun, I think. All right, well, that's it for the ratings this week. So let's go on to Awesome Sauce. Awesome Sauce! All right, PB and Zane is first. She says, Rick finding Lucille and lighting her on fire. Yeah, that's what I like to see. Woot. Yeah, I agree.
Dieta Patterson, Awesome Sauce. Rick and Negan fighting it out in the basement, full of walkers. Rick let it loose.
He certainly did. Next is Gary. He actually has 4 Awesome Sauce this week. He says that somehow Negan ended up captured by Jadis. That should be very interesting. Yes, I agree with that. That Michonne was able to convince Maggie to give the new people a chance. That Dwight was smart enough not to reveal himself to Simon, as he knows Simon would be even worse than Negan. Also, that Rick didn't hold it against Daryl for not sticking with the plan before. Yeah, I was surprised by that last part, but I think Rick's kind of got a, you know, he's got vengeance on his mind right now. So he wants only one thing, and that's a dead Negan.
And blood.
And blood.
Malika Tazi, Rick acquiring Lucille. Last scene with Jadis driving Negan. Loved it.
I did too. Steve Brown says, Judith smile when Rick held her. And then he continues. He says, loved seeing Jadis at the end. Totally caught me off guard. I love that the show can still do this to me. The Rick versus Negan cat and mouse in the building with the walkers. So he had a few of them. Yeah. So I agree with all of them too.
Yeah. Cheryl Fox, the whole fight between Negan and Rick, from Rick ramming his car to Rick finding Lucille and lighting it on fire and catching walkers on fire. Negan almost lost his mind without Lucille. How much confidence and power does Negan actually wield? Also, did Negan get Lucille in the end?
Yeah, I think he did. He did. But we don't see that. I mean, I don't know if he has. Come to think of it, I don't think he had her when I'm anthropomorphizing the bat. I guess I'm taking it from Negan there. But she didn't seem to be, I did it again, didn't seem to be with Negan that we could tell in the car. But like, I wondered what Negan was thinking when Jadis was there. Like, did he think that Rick lied to him, you think? Or what do you think about
my
that?
Thoughts?
Yeah.
My thoughts. I think that Negan thought that Rick was lying, that he really didn't believe that Simon would do such a thing. Now, mind you, this is a little bit spoilery. This is from the comics. the second in command in the comics is, and I'll give you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, was Dwight. Dwight was there from the beginning in the comic books. So in the show, apparently Simon is his second in command that was there from the beginning. So it's kind of like Negan feeling, oh crap, the person I left in charge is doing all the wrong things, everything that I'm doing opposite. So when he gets this information, it's going to drive him nuts. It's going to drive him crazy. And I don't think Simon is going to be there very long. That's just my thought.
I completely agree with you. And and your take on it is exactly how I took it as well. I think he saw Jadis and thought, Rick, you sly old dog, you had me. But he's going to find out once he wakes up permanently and not punched out again by Jadis, that he's going to find out that he wasn't lying. And I don't think he's going to take it very well to Simon. And I think Simon's days are numbered. If he somehow gets through this season, I will be quite surprised.
Same here.
Yeah. Okay. Our last listener, Awesome Sauces, Sauce-I, comes from Glynis Goltz. She said she's got three, and she says, one, Simon and Dwight's dynamic. Dwight's inner turmoil was sure getting his mind racing on how to warn Hilltop of the danger descending on them. I certainly noticed that too. He wanted to take that bike, and Simon didn't let him. Two, Rick placing Lucille on his shoulder. And then three, police siren sound effects music in the Negan-Rick car chase.
Yeah, that was interesting too, because if you think about it, if you watch Rick when he comes into the actual chase, it kind of is reminiscent of the sheriff or police chasing after somebody.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little bit offsetting, and it's not the typical of siren calls of police cars.
Yeah.
But it gives that effect, and it makes you think, all right, he's going to chase the bad guy down.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that was several things that came up in Awesome Sauce, but is there anything you want to add?
My awesome sauce?
Your awesome sauce.
My awesome sauce. Mark's awesome sauce would be that fight with Negan and Rick. That was awesome. Disco bat. Lucille beating Negan.
Right said, Mark. And if you're too young to know that reference, look it up. Right said, Fred. Anyway. I was threatening to use that in the sound effects this week. Mark said,
"You still can."
Yeah, I know, and I might. anyway, Jadis wears plaid, and you know, I said it already, but I didn't see it coming. I thought for sure that was going to be Rick. I was shocked. That's why I like openly. Like made a whoa or whatever I did when that was revealed loud enough that my wife heard it from two rooms over. So all right, so now it is time for the week variety.
Yo, worthless and weak.
That's even older than Right said Fred. all right, Mark, what you got?
PB and Zane, Negan's 0.0000095% speech edit, that is sarcasm, laugh out loud. Gross stuff has never bothered me. I mean, I can take anything, but man, all those walkers getting cut open and he guts in buckets. Ugh. I just wanted to vomit. Maybe do not feeling well today. Ha ha.
Well, it did look kind of gross.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Gary's next. He says that Rick started shooting from a distance at first instead of quietly sneaking up close and surprising Negan in the overturned car. It's like how you see so often in the police TV dramas where the plainclothes detectives always seem to holler the suspect's name from about 30 feet away where they have a chance to run rather than getting right next to them with handcuffs ready. But that's okay. Glad it happened that way so we can see what kind of interesting discussion Jadis is going to have with Negan. Yeah, to that end, I noticed that he had a clear shot at Negan, and he waited until Negan got into that, wherever that place was, to shoot. So he had it, you know, he sees Negan, but he doesn't have a real clear shot. He shoots at him. He stops when he has a clear shot, and then he's going into that building and he starts shooting again. And I definitely noticed that, on my last couple of watches, it kind of annoyed me. So anyway, Gary, pretty much I agree with you 100% with that one.
Malika Tazi, my heartbreak when it seemed like Simon and Dwight were going to write off Negan and either leave or take over the Sayers completely and then didn't. It could still happen, I guess. I love Stephen Ogg. My favorite savior for sure, but he is out of control.
I would agree with that. He was definitely out of control. And, you know, we talked about it before. I don't think he's going to survive to season 9. I just don't. If he survives, it's either going to be because Negan doesn't survive or I don't know. I don't think they're going to continue the war beyond the end of the season. I think it's over at this point, and, you know, thank goodness to that. So I think his time is numbered sometime in the next 4 episodes, probably the last episode or the episode before that one, the penultimate. Our good buddy Simon, if you want to call him that, is probably not going to survive the zompocalypse anymore. All right. Steve Brown says, just saying, Negan said, can you get anything? I don't get that one. Did you get that one?
No, I did not. I'll have to ask my co-podcaster.
Yeah, I think... yeah, Steve, actually, is he officially your co-host or is he just an often co-host on your podcast?
I have actually stated that he is my official co-host for Panels to Pixels.
Excellent. And to that I say? I didn't know that, but congrats, Steve. And it's a good time to say for... those of you who don't know, Mark has another podcast, and why don't you tell him what it is?
It's called Panels to Pixels. We actually talk about comic books turned into movies, TV shows, or Netflix shows. Anything old and new. So if anybody out there really wants to listen, feel free. We're on the Next Level Podcast Network. So... you know, feel free and listen in. You can find us out on iTunes right now. Thank you.
I should mention, since we're mentioning our other podcasts, of course, I do the Star Trek Discovery podcast on Golden Spiral Media as well. And it looks like hopefully next week we're going to do our long-awaited season 1 roundtable. So, that's not official yet, but sometime next week, it looks like we'll record it. So, and cool. now I have plenty of time to edit it. So,
hey, you have a lot of fun at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, next is yours.
Cheryl Fox, trading IP records for the blueprints to make windmills. aqueducts and such. Really? Georgie and the dumb and dumber twins going around looking for more communities to give Georgie's wisdom to. Is this in the comics? Yeah, guys, this is not in the comic books. I think this is just an Easter egg. In the comics, and those of you want to skip ahead, I'll give you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right now, where they're currently at in the comic books is a new frontier. And the group that you're seeing or possibly seeing is the Commonwealth. But I think this is just something that they're throwing out there right now for people to watch to see, okay, we got this little bit of a nugget. So later on, probably within another year, we'll probably see that come back around. So maybe Scott Gimple is doing things. You know, I like Scott M. Gimple. He's a really good person. But he loves the comics. And I think with him moving on to Fear, things are going to start to change up. And I have a funny feeling they're going to start to change up Fear with the regular series. The Prime series is going to be where it's at. And we're going to time jump. And at the end of the season, we're going to see Morgan go. But I don't know. There's a lot going on. They threw this one nugget there. I spoke about it last week on last week's podcast about the ham radio. And I have to give you that, guys. Honestly, with that little sign on the ham, on the pig, ham radio rocks. and it breaks. And then, you know. But the thing is that a lot of these things don't come into fruition until after this. And, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of switch up. So those of you that read the comics could see all these Easter eggs, but all those of you that are just viewers are just seeing these things fresh and new. And I have a funny feeling they're going to mash up a lot of these things between the two shows. And they're talking about another show for, you know, a spinoff. And whether or not that becomes, who knows? So we might be expanding our Walking Dead universe.
It's a 24th century Federation all over again, with Star Trek The Next Generation, followed by Star Trek Deep Space Nine, followed by Star Trek Voyager. It's very similar, I think, at this point. I think the execs at AMC are salivating, and that's what they're hoping that they have with the Walking Dead universe. And, you know, even we have to remember that even with ratings down as much as they are, they're still high compared to most everything else on cable and, you know, a lot of what's on broadcast TV. So they're not as stellar as they had been, but they're still good, and they're still good in the Live Plus 3 and Live Plus 7. And they look at that as that's the way things are going now. Much more people are watching on demand and watching, you know, through a streaming provider. They'll buy the episodes. So the actual total number, you may not see that actual number out there as, because I don't think they add on like purchases from iTunes or Google Play or, you know, Amazon Video, you know, or what, several other, you know, places you can buy it. So it's still a big show. It's, you know, even with the ratings going down, which we'll talk about in near the end there. Although I do have some good news this week. So All right. So next is Glynis Goltz. She has several here. So many that they go on to the second page. She has four. Okay. First, come on, editors/producers/director. The Rick Negan fight scene was way too darkly lit. As in the Talking Dead shots behind the scenes, there was adequate lighting provided. It can be dark for the atmosphere and all that, but this was too dark and took me out of the scene. You know, this has been an ongoing problem, and I wonder if, like, the producers of this show watch it in HDR, or they're watching it at a resolution and a color gamut that we don't get to see, because they keep doing this and I don't understand why. And I actually noticed the same thing, Glynis. So I 100% agree with you. She continues. Number two, come on, writers/choreographers. Rick is not a bad shot, and he reloads the AK-47 and fires off a few more bullets after Negan, then throws it away. When Rick shot the AK-47 after getting out of his SUV, he rattled off a lot more shots before running out of ammo and reloading. Number three, don't see the Negan-Rick crash, just the aftermath. And, you know, I have to say, they must have obviously saved some money there. I agree with what she's about to say here. But I had to go back a couple of times. I thought, because in our current place, we don't have a DVR. So I'm just watching it on straight cable, can't, rewind. And I was like, did I miss that? And, you know, it's only after the 11 p.m. watching that I realized, nope, I didn't miss it. She says, hey, AMC, use what money you saved there to retain Lauren Cohan. And I say that. That's a good answer, Glynis. Number four, now we're getting Enid's teenage angst, frowny face. And I see she's read Carl's letter, which hasn't changed her attitude in the least. Hey, Rick, read your son's letter. All right, so it's now time for our weak sauce. Mark, what you got?
Rick's stormtrooper shooting and his not able to kill Negan. Every time he has him in his sights, honestly, come on. He looks like a stormtrooper hitting nothing every time. He's not hitting the mark. Is he too excited? The man can shoot a walker in the head within 5 yards and yet can't shoot Negan every time. He's there. Plus that hatchet attack on the balcony. I guess I need to suspend my disbelief for the dream, for this actual drama. Yeah, it is a dream, in my opinion.
You know, it's funny the way you said that. It reminded me of Admiral Kirk taunting Khan in the Wrath of Khan, because he said something like that, like a poor marksman missing the target.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've already kind of said this, but the naked walker was my weak sauce. And, you know, generally, you know, I really enjoyed this episode, and I had a hard time coming up with one, but there was a fair amount of hype about this, much like the F word, which we still haven't heard. Supposedly AMC can say it twice per season now. The series can use the F word twice in a season, and Fear did. But we still haven't heard that. But this naked walker was also hyped when it was during the hiatus. They started talking about this. But I remember that Nick Otero talked about this on the, you know, the Carl death episode, and the way he brought it up, I had a feeling I was going to be disappointed because I think he said something like, you know, we cover things or whatever, but like literally, I think I was even more disappointed because like, okay, if you had not told me that that walker was naked, I wouldn't have known because I literally could not see any evidence, naked or otherwise. It just looked like a walker with very nondescript features. So I don't know what the point of it was.
Yeah, same here. I really don't get it. I think it was just rating captures.
Yeah. All right. You have a sad sauce.
Aww. Yeah, no follow-up about Carl's passing among the survivors or Rick's gang. Yeah, we never got the actual outcome of what everybody did. All we got was visuals. So my feeling is, what happened? What did everybody think? What did everybody say? We didn't get any of that. All we got was visuals of Carl and Carol looking really dour and really upset, and then Enid breaking down. And that was about it. You know, I really wanted more.
Yeah, yeah, and that really wasn't, you know, brought up too much, except for maybe the Rick Daryl, you know, discussion there. And, you know, all he said was something like, you know, I'm going to be all right. And that was it. So, you know, and I think it's pretty obvious that he's not all right. Now, he's not crazy like he was when Lori died. But this is a different Rick who's been through a heck of a lot more than he had gone through at the time of Lori's death. And it was, you know, very much, I think, a surprise. Well, obviously, her death was a surprise, I should say, but so was Carl's. But at least with them, he got to spend time with her before she passed. Or he passed. I'm all mixed up now.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, it doesn't happen too often, but we have some what sauce.
What?
All right. Steve Brown says, even though I loved seeing her, where did Jadis come from?
It's a trap.
That's a good question, Steve. Where did she come from? Because, like, how did she get him? And, you know, so there was a lot of yada, yada, yadas there. We didn't get to see. So,
Cheryl Fox, Simon and Dwight did not make a concerted effort to find Negan. Seriously? The leader of their world gets in a car accident and they have a discussion or what should we do? Simon earlier was pumping Dwight to see if the both felt the same about Negan. Dwight would never really say exactly what he was told Rick and crew, but flicking a cigarette and catching the car on fire said a lot.
Yeah, I kind of actually like the Dwight's like sarcastic tone that he took. He's like, no, I never had a single, you know, never came to mind. Whatever he said, I paraphrase, but yeah, I like that actually. So, all right, well, that is it for our sauces. We had many sauces tonight, so yeah. It is now time for our regular feedback and time to listen to Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Oh shit!
All right. Well, it's our feedback now. General things about the episode. So, Mark, why don't you give the first one?
Marc Olivier Dufour says, "So sick and tired of the Rick and Negan cat and mouse game, but still a better episode than last week."
And to that, I would say that the episode and the cat and mouse game reminded me a lot of Arrow on the Doorpost, which was, I think, episode 13 of season 3. That was the Rick and the governor meet and, you know, have kind of a negotiation there. It was very cat and mouse, but, you know, was a lot of talking in that episode. It had a similar kind of vibe, except it was more action oriented. But I think I get what you're saying. And the fact that there's no payoff to that, because you kind of knew, like, and I said, I enjoyed those scenes. But you kind of knew that Negan wasn't going to die and Rick wasn't going to die. So there really wasn't any payoff to it. For me, the scenes were interesting. I really liked what happened in them, you know, especially when Rick lit Lucille on fire. But there was no payoff. So I think I can see where you're coming from. PB and Zane, Judy, is next. She says, I enjoyed the bro moment between Daryl and Rick. How did the crates and note get there without anyone noticing? There are people watching all around the place, and all of a sudden, poof, there it is. I would say that is a very accurate thing to say. I thought that as well. Like, how did that just suddenly get there? It was a little strange. She continues, she says, oh no, Rogue Rick going after Negan. So close, yet so far. Man, all that firepower from Rick and not one hit. If Negan does bite it this season, I don't expect it to be till the final episode anyway, but he could at least get wounded. Hmm. Oh, nice. An appearance from the ambiguously gay duo behind Georgie. If you don't recognize, yeah, if you don't recognize the reference there, that's a little cartoon skit from Saturday Night Live. I'm sure they haven't done it in a long time, but yeah, Ace and Gary, I think is who they were. Who is this Georgie? Is she from the comics? Did I get her name right? Can't rewind live TV. Yes, you did get it, her name right. Georgie Porgy Puddin' Pie.
Wow.
Anyway, actually, definitely not, because the rest of it doesn't make sense after that. Because I think it's kissed the girls and made them cry or something. God, yeah. Now I'm really sounding old. But the funny thing about those two is when I first saw them, I thought they were from Oceanside. I honestly thought they were from Oceanside.
Yeah, they had that feeling. And it's really – one was called Midge.
Yeah.
And I forget the other name.
Hilda.
Hilda, there you go.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny too, because Georgie looks so proper and Hilda and Midge don't look anything like what Georgie is.
Not even close, you know. So, yeah, it was interesting, those two. Anyway, she continues. She says, no one freaks out about walkers anymore. Dwight sees one and just lights a cigarette, fires up the car, and walks away. Fire walkers were pretty neat. Expunge, redact, erase. Someone had fun with the thesaurus this week.
Especially Simon.
Yes. Yes. Well, Simon likes to turn a phrase. I think, you know, they've gotten on that. There's someone in the writer's room that likes to turn a phrase, I think, because, you know, they try to do that with Negan. They do that with Eugene, you know, and of course they did it before with Abraham. You know, they liked these characters with silver tongues.
Well, I think Abraham was more about a of colored pum more than anything, you know, and then Simon is more like a thesaurus. And yeah. And then you have a few others that are doing that as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm enjoying it. You know, it's fun because now there's going to be these catchphrases that everybody's going to use in common talk.
Yeah. I did like expunge and redact. I've heard expunge used in that way, but redact, I usually take from, you know, classified documents where they, you know, black mark all the parts that they don't want you to see, and they redact the detail there. So last thing she says, Jadis is still here. Crap. Then she says, bye bye, Morgan. Did you guys see him in the commercials for Fear? Well, maybe it will help that show out. Yeah, I don't think Judy's been much of a fan of Fear. And I don't know. I don't even think she liked it too much, season three. But I don't know. The things that I'm seeing about season four, I'm getting very excited about it. I think we've got the potential of it might even, you know, kind of reach the levels of the parent show it did in season four, you know?
Yeah.
I think season five is my favorite season of The Walking Dead, but I thought season three was great of Fear, and you know, the changes that they've made, the characters seem really interesting, and I don't know. I think it's going to be really good. We only have a few weeks away. It's, you know, on the 15th is when the first episode is.
Yeah. So Malika Tazi, haven't been able to watch in time for feedback until this week. Figured out that AMC app on our TV finally, dare I say this, show has gotten better since Carl died.
I'm going to stop you right there because, you know, I have to say, I think she's got something there, because the first half, you know, other than the Ezekiel episode, I wasn't really, like, you know, I thought some of them were good, but I only thought that one episode was really good. And, but this second half, I think, you know, so far it's, I'd say 2 out of 4 have been really good. And then the other 2 out of 4 have been pretty good. So I think that's a better average than what we saw for the first half. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. You know, it's like every other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we get one good story and then the next one's even better, you know, but you know, everybody has their own feeling about each and every episode. I'm saying flat out, I love this episode.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, you stated it last week that the 12th episode is as either really bad or really good.
Yeah.
And this one was really good.
Yeah.
And that's really why I gave it such a high rating.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only so many times that we could actually watch these episodes. And if you go back and I implore everybody that is listening, if you have a Blu-ray or if you have this on Netflix or on some sort of on demand, do it. Go back to every 12th episode of every season, and Brian brings up a good point. It's either really good or really bad, and we're not happy. And this one was actually a really good episode.
And I would say that if you look at the percentages, most of them have been really good, but there have been 2 stinkers. At least I know some people really like Still, but I wasn't one of those people. And I think largely, a lot of people were kind of down on that episode. And you know, what else can be said about, the Deer episode than I have to look it up to see what I can't recall what they called that episode for some reason. It keeps eluding me every time I try to think of it. It might have been Just Say Yes. I don't know.
I think of it as calling. I literally call it the circus episode. You know, Rick coming out of the box, and then there he is, and then Michonne all happy and everything. You weren't happy about the whole Beth and Daryl episode. I know that, but I actually appreciated it in some way. That's just me.
You only gave it a 6, didn't you?
Yeah, but who, me?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you only gave that a six.
Yeah, but I wasn't on at that time.
Which one are we talking about? I thought you were talking about the
episode 9. No, I'm talking about the episode when Daryl and Beth are.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. that one. They are snuck away, and it's just before she gets taken to the hospital.
Right.
And snuck away. I appreciated that. That actually gave her a little bit more of a character and standing up to Daryl. You know, but that's, you know, I wasn't here then, but my feeling is I appreciated that, you know.
Neither were we, by the way. We didn't start podcasting until season 5.
Yeah, I really liked the fact that Daryl opened up in a little bit and goes, is that how you feel about me?
Yeah.
And she, you know, it opened her up into the world of where she's at,
yeah,
and wanting to rebel. And on top of that, he is trying to survive. So, you know, everybody go back, rewatch, have fun, and think about it. You know, it's like Beth was a good character. How she went out? No, I was not happy with that. But, you know, I was hoping that she would be some sort of new character or new character format for the series. Yeah. But, you know, they took her out, unfortunately. But I like Beth.
I did too, although there was a time that I thought she was kind of useless, but I kind of got over that. She's got a little more.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
I just need to kill off Daryl, and it could be even better. Oh my! Also, dare I say that this is the best episode this half of the season, if not the whole season. Oh my goodness.
That's high praise. I don't know for me if it was my favorite, but it was certainly, I'd say, in the top 3 or 4. So it was up there.
And then she adds, I'm thinking about getting the ticket to see this season finale of TWD and the season premiere of Fear the Walking Dead at the theater. Not 100% on this yet. I will agree. Malika, I actually bought my ticket to AMC locally. It's not too far from where I work. I work in Danbury, Connecticut. So there, I bought my ticket, and me and a friend are actually going to go. And we're going to go see the season finale of The Walking Dead for season 8. And then we're going to see the season premiere of Fear of the Walking Dead. I've been anticipating this for so long.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I'm a Marvel fan. I did not run out to the theaters to go see Inhumans. I was not really into the idea. But with this being a Walking Dead fan for so long, ever since 2010, I had to go. And I have to go. So, me and my friend are going to go, and we're going to have fun. So I hope you do.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and I may do the same. Although I can't say for sure that I'm going to be, I'm at this point, depending upon, how work, you know, my job situation goes, I may be moving. So I don't know where I'm going to be. for sure. I may still be around here, or I may move. And hopefully I'll, wherever I am, I'll be able to podcast, but we'll work on that when the time comes. All right. Todd is next. He says, great stuff with Negan versus Rick tonight. Real quick, I really feel that the woman watching the gate with Maggie, Rosita, could easily be Alicia from Fear the Walking Dead. So much so that maybe Alicia left the fear world, changed her name to Rosita, and met up with our team. At least a twin or relative or something. Anyone else with me? And to that, I say, no. And, you know, I'll say they do have similar looks, but, you know, unless Alicia starts acting Hispanic, I don't get that vibe from her. Like, if anything, I would say there's somewhat of a Rosita, what's her name? Luciana? Luciana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was hardly in season 3 and we see is coming back for season 4 according to the trailer. Spoiler. But
I'm sure there's going to be a backstory.
Yeah.
There has to be a backstory. You know, how do we know that? How did she survive? That's all peel. Yeah, that's my whole feeling. You know, we need to have that whole, hey, this is what happened to her. This is what happened to Nick. This is what happened to Madison. This is what happened to Alicia. This is what happened to Strand. I have a funny feeling they're going to actually bring that up within the first episode in small little spurts or little stories. So I'm hoping it's not 2 hours.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't think that first episode is going to be 2 hours because it would be kind of difficult to have that go right. What I have to think happens is there's a story there, something that happens with Morgan that propels him to leave, and then we pick up with him and he ends up in the fear realm. I guess we can't say universe because it's the same universe, but you know, somehow ends up in Texas. And I'm guessing that first episode, maybe in the first few episodes, we're going to see that kind of journey. I have a feeling based on some of the things I've heard said that there's going to be some, you know, flashbacks or some gradual kind of progression of time. We're going to see, obviously there's a heck of a lot that goes on on the fear side to time jump to get them up to where The Walking Dead is. And hopefully they're going to spend a lot of time trying to explain what the heck happened in that time. Cause that's a lot of time to jump in this universe, you know,
yeah,
few years at least. So,
all right. So Glennis Gultz, not too sure what to make of the new visitors, although it might be related to the comic. It just seemed off plot and dialogue-wise. Enid, Maggie treating them badly, like Oceanside premise of the Seavers relieving people of possessions, modus operandi. Then Michonne coming to the rescue and injecting some reason and goodwill into the plot, which to the end benefited to the Hilltop community as a whole. Anyway, last item for you, Brian.
Yes?
Where you were wondering about the damaged gates at Alexandria, this happened in Season 8, Episode 8. The Savior surrounded Alexandria, and while Carl was talking to Negan, creating a diversion, some of the Alexandrians bashed through the back gate and escaped, right after Dwight and said to Laura that the gate would hold. And I do also recall that the Savior's also bashing through the front gate too. Have to check that one out. And the Savior's were then inside Alexandria itself, and Negan instructed them to burn the houses except for Rick's, as he said. He might make spaghetti and then That led to the Rick Negan altercation, with a flashback to Rick, like Pete, crashing through the window, which I remember very evocatively. Wow. With a flashback to Rick, like Pete, crashing through the window, Carl was also running away from the Savers inside Alexandria and then escaped down the sewer.
I like you, Glynnis, and the reason why I say that is because, like I do a lot of times, you recite seasons and episode numbers at us, and I love that because I try to get detailed as possible. And I have to say, I think in thinking about it, I think you're right, at least as far as the Alexandrians crashing through the gate, the back gate. I hadn't even thought of that. And I think the reason why is when I was doing my rewatch, I didn't get, before the season started, I didn't get to watch all of episode 8. So I missed that detail because of that. Normally I do, but things, you know, we were just moving, and so I didn't have the time I normally have, and now I don't have a job, so I have plenty of time. I'm trying to be, you know, I mean, let's face it, doing the podcast here, I get a lot of fun out of it, so have a lot of fun with it, and I need this, so I thought I was going to be kind of down this episode, but I've had a lot of fun tonight, so. Yeah, so I think you're right, and I don't remember the Saviors doing that, but then again, because they crashed through the gates, I think you're right, they did get inside Alexandria, and for whatever reason, I didn't remember it correctly. A rare thing, but it does happen sometimes. Anyway, Tilly Creary is next. She says, I loved that this episode had a standoff between Rick and Negan that I didn't see coming. I'm a comic reader, so it's nice when the show does something that's fantastic and exciting for the story without relying on following what the comic has already done. Is it lame that once again, Rick has gone off the rails and veered from whatever the agreed upon plan was? Yes. Did I love the basement battle scene that ensued? Yep. And did I see Negan get bashed in the arm with a flaming Lucille? Yes, I think he did, actually. Will his plan come back to bite him in the arm? And of course. Yeah, but, you know, if he doesn't, well, he's got leather on, so. You know, it's difficult for that to, you know, pierce through. But, you know, if his jacket got damaged and he doesn't get sick.
There's a conspiracy out there. You hear what I'm saying? There's a conspiracy. A C-O-N spiracy.
I got to play that a lot in the second half of Star Trek Discovery, and Ruthie loves that clip. Okay, to continue, will his plan come back to bite him in the arm? I guess we'll find out in the coming weeks. Also, I love the surprise Jadis at the end of the episode. I'm excited to find out where her story is heading. I need to find out the truth about what she's got going over at the trash heap. Yes, you know, she's actually, Planet of the Apes survivor, like we talked about earlier. I'm excited for the future of the gang now that they have access to all that great information from Georgie for improving the world. At first, I was a little annoyed at the show when her people first showed up. Like, really, guys? Haven't we learned enough from past mistakes with introducing new random and useless groups? Heapsters. Oceanside. Anyway, by that Tilly was the one that put that in. But by the end, I could see where they were heading with this. Makes future community improvements believable after this current war is over. Set up for a time jump, maybe? I'm a little terrified of where Negan's mind is heading. She's heading towards the dark side with all her teenage angst and anger. If Enid and Tara ever team up, that would be truly frightening / annoying. Like the annoying part. I love that Simon has taken over the saviors. This isn't going to end well for anyone, but it's nice that at least Dwight is there to keep things from getting too insane, hopefully. Looking forward to Negan meeting up with Simon again. That beatdown is going to be spectacular. I agree.
Yeah. Deanna Patterson. Finally, some excitement. Negan's face when he found out Simon killed the trash people. Simon is going to get it big time. He has gone rogue with Dwight in tow. Dwight is bust trying to figure out how to get away with it, and wham, the hilltop about Negan's guts of glory attack. Rick is determined to end Negan, but the bullets always miss and he gets away again. Let's end this already. So they dropped a new character on us, reminded me of Thelma and Scooby-Doo Van with their sidekicks. Shaggy and the Scooby, only a person on a and not a dog. I have knowledge, she says. For records, vinyl only? What kind of cookie creepy fortune telling mess this is? They just appeared out of nowhere? Now, what is going on to get revenge from her people? My eyes actually teared up for Carl when Edith had her meltdown. I actually felt her pain of losing Carl overall. I still feel like this Negan and Rick thing has dragged on long enough, but it was a good episode.
Well, that's good. And I loved your Scooby-Doo references. I definitely grew up with Scooby-Doo and Raggy when I was a kid. So I like that. All right. Well, I think we've talked about most of the things that we had in additional discussion points, but and Mark is having trouble tonight at the end. We started late, my fault. Okay. Yeah. But Mark, what do you have left over?
My additional discussions would be, as much as I love the comic, but there was another similarity to the comic with Georgie. I think this was an Easter egg. For those comic book readers out there, we all know that Georgie looks a lot like somebody from the Commonwealth. I think this is something that they're setting up for us, and this is me going on off cuff, but, a lot of people know what's going on in the comics now, and if a lot of you out there are not reading the comics, please shut it off and forward ahead. But, Georgie,
does that include me?
Well, if you don't read the comic, it's okay. But, you know,
I don't care.
If you don't care, yeah, that's fine. But, The Commonwealth leader in the actual comic book for the New Frontier right now looks a lot like Georgie, a short-haired blonde woman with glasses that is pretty much dressed to the T, almost like a senator. And as we saw Georgie, she was very much dressed up, but she had Midge and the other one. And to me, that was a setup in a sense where we're going to see something in the future, but we don't know if that's going to happen right now. I have a funny feeling is she said, we'll see you later. And she gave them a book. So I have a funny feeling this is just something to implant for a later episode, whether it be a season, half season, who knows? But I'm really wanting to see this whole New Frontier story arc come into play. But they're jumping over a major arc. And I have a funny feeling that this whole Fear of the Walking Dead, this new season, is going to show that missing arc that the original TWD, The Walking Dead comic book had, which was very, very important. So I have a funny feeling that they're actually going to put that into Fear, and then we're going to jump into this new frontier. So this is my speculation and my speculation only, honestly. But I really hope they don't do that. I really want to see that other story arc come into play before we actually see the new frontier. But to me, the first thing, and I said, and I screamed out, no.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. And everybody keeps telling me, and I had somebody at work today actually say, what do you mean? I was like, well, you read the comic. And they're like, yes, but they can't do that. And like, well, we're not Scott M. Gimple and we're not Angela Kang. So Scott M. Gimple is actually in charge of the whole universe at this point.
Yeah.
So he's showrunning over, what, two shows right now? And they're going to do possibly three. So I just hope that if they do mesh these things, it's going to mesh well. And eventually Fear will lead into the regular Prime show. And I don't know. There's a lot of speculation on my part. If anybody really wants to talk about it, you could actually talk it about on the actual Facebook page, and we could have nice conversations.
And that's at facebook.com/group/WalkingDeadGSM. And if you aren't a member, Tara would say from last week,
are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you, Tara.
Anyway, well, you talked a lot about Georgie here, and yeah, I called her Georgie Pantsuit with the identical twins from Oceanside, which, you know, obviously I found out, well, not really, but I certainly thought so at first. But it was kind of like a ladies' day, because it was all women at that meeting. Which I'm not really sure why that was. I mean, certainly could have been someone, you know, like, and they didn't have everybody, like, you know, if they had brought Carol and Tara.
Or Enid.
Well, Enid was there.
Yeah, but she didn't really say much.
Well, she was very, very much a pain in the butt at the end there, because she wanted them to just take everything. I don't remember who said it in the feedback, but it certainly seemed that even though she read Carl's letter, much like Rick, she didn't seem to be taking it to heart. So,
nah.
All right. Well, let's get this all finished up. So back or in its new position, we have the ratings. And for the good old Nielsen TV ratings, I can actually say ratings this week are up. Now, certainly not enough to give it the Nielsen ratings showcase winner.
So hold on then. I have to ask. So BJ Honeycutt and Hawkeye Pierce of the new Walking Dead didn't really do well?
Actually, who are you calling Hawkeye? Would it be Negan or?
Negan would be Hawkeye, yeah. And BJ Honeycutt would be Simon.
Well, of course, last week, that was not a very good rating, but this week things actually were up a little bit, not a lot, but we will take every victory we can at this point. So Walking Dead got a 2.83 in the 18 to 49 demographic with 6.666666666. Anyway, no, it got a 6.663 million viewers. And that is versus last week, which was just a hair down at 2.80 and 6.604 million viewers. So, you know, certainly not a big victory, but we like up, and this trend is up, and we will celebrate it. Now, Talking Dead was actually up quite a bit this week. It got a 1.09 in the 18 to 49. Probably, I imagine, Yvette Nicole Brown being there. She's always a good guest on there. That's my guess. Yeah. I don't know.
I like her.
Yeah, I do too. So it got a 1.09 in the 18 to 49 with 2.663 million viewers. Exactly 4 million yet less than The Walking Dead did. And that's versus a 0.85 and 2.321 million last week. So the trend is up ever so slightly, you know, so we'll take it, I guess. And we already talked about the AMC, I'm the one to be screwed up. We already talked about the fact that the season finale of The Walking Dead and the season premiere of Fear of the Walking Dead are going to be shown at theaters. Hopefully I will get to go, but I'm not sure at this point if I will. But it's also worth noting, and this is the only news item I picked out this week, is that Talking Dead next week will be at 11 p.m. Eastern, so an hour late, to show the first episode of The Terror, which is the new AMC show, which moves on to Monday night after this. Now, normally, I don't like it when AMC does this, especially listeners may remember, I did not react to Into the Badlands. I do not like that show. Just something about it that I thought it was just, I didn't like it. But for this show, and I liked it when they did it for Better Call Saul, but this show looks pretty interesting to me. And I like some of the cast that I've seen. There's several actors from Game of Thrones and, I forget, is it Jared Harris? Is that his name? He's best known, I guess, at least for me, from being the villain. I can't remember his character's name, but in Fringe. So, you know, always a really good actor. And I think he's like the lead on this show. So, are you planning to watch The Terror?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I like historical, depictions,
yeah,
of incidents, and that was very interesting. It really captivated me, that actual you know, promo that they put out. And since it's Ridley Scott, I have to watch it.
Oh, that's right, it's Ridley Scott. I forgot about that. I know he's involved with that Amazon show based on the Philip K. Dick story. What's it called? Something Castle. I can't think. I'm blanking. Yeah.
Same here.
The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he's involved with that. So, yeah, hopefully that's a sign of good stuff. So, I will be watching. Whether or not I'll watch past that depends on how it does. But that's it. So to submit your feedback to us, go to goldenspowermedia.com. That's the first way, where you can submit text or audio. You can use a SpeakPipe widget there, or you could call 304-837-2278, which is the general Golden Spower Media phone line, to submit and make sure that you mention that you're submitting to the Walking Dead talk through. But most people, including everyone but Gary this episode, put in their feedback through the Facebook group, which I already gave the URL, but that's at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And you can also submit feedback through our Gmail, which is WalkingDeadGSM@gmail.com. The deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Tuesday after the episode is aired. You can also talk to us on Twitter. That's at WalkingDeadGSM. To support us, we don't have any new Apple podcast reviews this week, but you can go to GoldenSpiralMedia.com/Apple to find all of the wonderful podcasts within the Golden Spiral Media Network. And you can find all the other ways to support us at GoldenSpiralMedia.com/support. And I guess I'll mention it here. And to support me right now, because like I say, my wife doesn't work. Didn't get a severance. And right now I don't have unemployment. Hopefully I'll get it. But so my income is zero right now in this household, which is, I'm not looking forward to this. I'll find something soon. So you can help me by using my GoFundMe, which is at GoFundMe.com/TWDTTBrianHardDrive, which of course is old, but I'll keep that the same since I used that before. All right. So our next episode is season 8, episode 13. And I should mention, episode 13s are usually quite good as well. And I think if I go back, I will look at it and I will see that every episode 13 has been good. So there have been a couple of duds with episode 12s, but you have Beside the Dying Fire, Arrow on the Doorpost. I can't remember the name of the season 4 one, but that was a particularly good one. Season 5 was Forget. Obviously, I forgot season 4. season 6 was the Carol Maggie episode with the what was her name? Paula, I think. The last in the was it the same boat? And last year was it was the Bury Me Here episode, and that was an amazing episode, I thought. So we have a good possibility of this one being a great episode. So hopefully that'll work out. We don't know who the writer or the director is, but troubles arise when unexpected visitors arrive at the hilltop. Gee, I wonder who that could be. And then it says, heartbreaking discoveries are made. And I have a theory about this, and I don't know for sure, but we haven't seen the kingdom survivors, and I wonder if that's the heartbreaking discovery. I worry about that, so that was something I thought of when I read that this week. All right, so that's it. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I am Mark.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.